you'll look there with me for a few minutes here tonight. Amen. Psalm 101. This is a psalm of David. This is a psalm that describes David's attitude toward his past failures and how that he wanted to live uprightly before the Lord. And let's read these verses here. Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I don't know how much aware that many of you are over some circumstances over the last couple of weeks. There have been some pastors actually down in the Dallas, Texas area, major influential pastors that have failed and sinned and have been either they resigned or were removed from ministry because of their sins. I'm talking about pastors of churches of thousands and thousands of people. This is not one pastor. There's at least three, even in that metro area of Dallas, Texas, that this has happened to. And it, honestly, I have listened to these preachers, every one of them. I've been blessed by them over the years. And so it's been very troubling to me, very troubling, that these men that have been men of God have failed, have sinned, and are now removed from their place of ministry. It's been troubling to me. I think it should trouble all of us when something like this happens. It should stir our minds and our hearts and should cause us to look at our own life. And the Bible's clear that we are to examine ourselves. That's a part of the Christian experience, that we, on a regular basis, we examine ourselves. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. And so in light of Scripture, in light of the presence of the Lord, that we need to have times on a regular basis of self-examination. Lord, help me to remain true to you. Help me to remain true to the Word of God. Help me to remain true to my commitments that I've made, and my vows that I have made. Help me to remain true to you, Lord, in every area of my life. I don't know if you noticed in this text that we read here that David uses, he uses the word perfect three times. Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And then at the latter part of that verse, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And then on down in the chapter, he describes the need to live in a perfect way. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So he describes a perfect life. And I have to stand back when I read that and, be honest. And, I know I'm not perfect. I know there are areas of my life that I need to improvement. I need to make changes. I need to be careful in every area of my life. And I think if we all will be honest, there's no way that we are living a perfect or a blameless life. And I mentioned, because it was in our Sunday school lesson Sunday, the text from 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about the office of a bishop, which is an elder or a pastor in a church, a leader in a church. And it says that if any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The very first qualification for that leader in ministry is to be blameless. And so ever since all this has happened, I've been looking into these various verses that use that term perfect or the term blameless to discover, Lord, what is this talking about? I know that you're the only one that's perfect. I'm not. And I don't know any perfect man or woman, but I do know that you're perfect. So Lord, what is the call? What is the desire that you have for our hearts? A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, which means not violent, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. I'm telling you, it is a tall order of qualifications for someone that is to be a leader in the house of the Lord. And I've really been asking the Lord, I've been doing a self-examination. Lord, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fail you in any of these areas. And I want you to know that not only am I called to a holy life and to a life that's blameless before the Lord, but you are too. Every one of us have been called to a life of holiness before of the Lord. So I looked at this word, actually in Psalm 101, the word perfect there comes from a Hebrew word. Again, I can't pronounce it, but it's a Hebrew word that means sincere, upright, whole, with integrity. And that just means consistent, uncompromising, adhering to strong moral and ethical principles. All of these things that are describing what it means to be ethical and to be moral and to be upright before the Lord. Folks, we have a tall order to aspire to. We really do. Every one of us. That God has called us to a blameless life. You remember when David sinned, and different ones in the scripture sinned before the Lord. Great reproach came upon the name of the Lord. Great reproach came upon the kingdom of God. And I tell you that when these pastors with such high profile, I'm talking two of them, we had them on our radio station. We played their messages every day. And we had to go in and make a decision. What do we do about this? We can't continue to do this. And so it's a very serious thing that we're dealing with in this particular time that we're living in right now. And we all have known of people who have failed the Lord and walked away from the Lord. They failed in the house of God, or they failed their family, or they failed in some area of their life. But for God that has saved us and delivered us from sin, I believe it's not too much to ask that men and women of God live a holy life. Amen. It's not too much to ask that we live a life that is blameless before the Lord. We're always aspiring to that. I'm not saying that we're perfect, but we always have our eyes set upon, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to pay attention to the word of the Lord. And I want it to be the rule and the guide of my life. I don't want to allow anything to affect me or to influence me to turn away from the Lord. Another definition of this word perfect from Psalm 101 is circumspect. Looking from every perspective, every direction, watching and careful to do the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. Living with the understanding that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees everything you do. He knows every word that comes out of your mouth. Everything. And that we live our lives and that we're open before the Lord and living a life aspiring to purity and righteousness. Amen. That is the call of God. That's it. And when we fail to do that, what great damage is done to the kingdom of God? What great damage was done in the Dallas, Texas area? One of those churches has over 100,000 members. They have branches of their church all over the state of Texas and even in other states. 100,000 people that were followers of that one pastor. And quite frankly, I thought I would listen to him, and I thought, this guy's, he's really a good teacher. He's really doing some good things. And it's just been so troubling to me to think that this could happen to people who profess to be men of God. And I think if anything we can learn from something like this is that we'd step back and say, Lord, if they could fail, I could fail. And I'm going to have to keep myself, Lord, walking in purity in the eyes of the Lord. And I believe that's the call to every one of us, to walk in integrity and purity before the Lord. The psalmist gives some pointers in this chapter as to how that we can live a blameless life, live a pure life, how we can do it. Notice what it says in verse 2 and 3. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. So first of all, he's saying the things that you look at. If you want to put yourself on guard, guard your eyes. Guard the things that you look at. That was the failure of David. David, when all the other men of war went out to battle, David is left behind. And it's then that he goes up to the rooftop and his eyes catches the sight of Bathsheba. That, what he saw with his eyes, it became, he first looked, and then there was the second look, there was the lingering look, and then before long, he crossed the line, and it was no longer just a glance or a look, but it was something that got a hold of his heart and his flesh, and he succumbed to it, and he failed the Lord, and he brought great reproach to Israel because of the failure of King David. Psalm 51 is the psalm of his repentance because he knew he had failed the Lord and failed the nation of Israel. And it started with a look. Amen. Now we live in a very visual time right now. I mean, in every respect. It's everywhere. TV, social media. We're just bombarded with images constantly that are everywhere that can easily grab your attention. If you're not careful, it'll get a hold of your mind and your thoughts, and before long, it'll become actions in your life. Amen. It's true. It's true. We have the most accessible age ever right now. In the last 20 years since the advent of social media and the cell phone, that you have the internet right at the tip of your right in your hand at any particular time, everything is accessible to everyone more than ever before. And the enemy is looking for every way he possibly could grab a hold of your affections and your heart and your mind and your thoughts. He's looking for a way to gain access into your life. So guard what you look at. That's what the psalmist said. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Nothing, nothing. I will not allow the things. And then he goes on to say that you should be careful of your relationships in the world. Be careful. Notice what he says here. I mean, there's a commitment that you can see. Look at the last part of verse 3. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He said that. All of those that are going in another direction away from the Lord, it's not going to get a grip on my life. I'm not going to allow it to get a grip on my life. Then he says, a froward heart, a man full of pride, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. He's talking about the influences of the world and people in the world. I'm not going to have connections with them. I'm not going to allow the worldly influences to grab a hold of my heart. Verse 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Good advice. A slanderer to a gossiper, someone, what did he say I do? I cut him off. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I remember years ago sitting at the table of a pastor, and we were all having a conversation at that table. And some of the young people that were a part of the group that I was with there talking, one of the persons started talking about someone, about some person by name. And the pastor said, sister, that's gossip. And I'm telling you, it got quiet. It got quiet quick. He said, sister, that's gossip. And I'm telling you, that's what David said. He said, if they're going to slander, I'm going to cut it off. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to be a party to that. He's talking about his connections with the world. Him that hath a high look and a proud look, will I not suffer? I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to put up with that kind of a attitude or that kind of personality. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? The kind of commitment that David has made. We don't know for sure if this psalm was written after his sin with Bathsheba, but most believe it was. It was after, and apparently David has made a renewed vow and commitment. I am not going to allow what I look at to affect my mind and my heart. I am not going to allow my associations with people in the world to affect me. I'm not going to allow it to happen. He must have committed himself to that. Then look at the last couple of verses there. It says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. So not only was he not allowing the world to influence him, but he wasn't going to let him in to his inner circle. Not going to let him into my inner circle. So we have friends, obviously, and people that we associate with out in the world. But there's some people that are out in the world that are not followers of the Lord, and you can't be bosom buddies with them. You cannot associate close, intimate fellowship with them. You just cannot. Because those of the world will have an impact upon your life. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. He was saying, I'm not going to let them in to influence my life. Good, sound advice for someone that had committed themselves to walk blameless before the Lord. Amen. 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 I know we're living in some pretty challenging times right now. But if David had to make a commitment like that, all those many hundreds of thousands of years ago, that I'd say you and I need to make some commitments as well. I'm going to guard my eyes. I'm going to guard my connections with the world. I'm going to guard those that I allow into my inner circle. I think that could probably be like your family and your inner circle. Guard who you allow in. I understand that, you know, there's going to be friendships and there's going to be people that you associate with, but you have to be on guard because they will influence your heart. They can turn your heart away from the Lord. So in light of the tragedy of what has happened over these last couple of weeks, it's been a troubling thing to me. And just, I've been so sad and brokenhearted over it. But at least I've kind of looked inwardly, asking the Lord, Lord, help me, help me. Help me to walk before you in purity. Help me to be blameless before you. I know I can't be a perfect, but if I'm getting closer and closer to you, I'm getting closer to perfection. Amen. And that's where I need to be, and that's where you need to be as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us, Lord, of those areas of our life, Lord, that are vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to be on guard for the things that we allow through our eyes, through our connections, Lord, with the world and those that we allow into our inner circle of fellowship. Help us, Lord, to be cautious and careful and to walk before you, Lord, in purity and holiness, Lord. And Lord, that our testimony would be such that we are walking in integrity before you, walking in purity before you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you can give us a Holy Spirit warning, Lord, so that we will live in such a way that it is pleasing in your sight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Lord bless you all.